All right, I want to go ahead and we're going to jump right into the series today. We got some awesome stuff this morning. We're going to be at John chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters in all of John, and we're going to get right into it. We're really focusing on this idea of believe in this book, all right? What does it mean to believe in God? And we can see his signs and wonders and all the different things that he did in the book of John, and today we're going to learn even more about what that means through this idea of the shepherd and the sheep. So let's read this. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 2, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd and the sheep of the sheep." So here we are. We got something kind of interesting right away. We probably noticed some things that kind of stick out to us. There's things in this passage that, like, I'm not quite sure about what is this whole deal about shepherd and sheep. It sounds good. I've heard it most of my life in the Bible, but I have no idea what he's talking about. Well, we'll get into that here in a second, but to really understand where we're going to go, you got to understand where we've been. And I'm going to give you something really profound this morning. Chapter 10 follows chapter 9. Really, really profound. I know we can all close our Bibles and we can leave now. But no, really, that seems kind of obvious, but it isn't so obvious sometimes because, you know, stories jump around. And in this story, this is one scene. In fact, for the last three chapters, it's kind of been all in one story scene, okay? It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you remember last week, Tyler did a fantastic job talking about the story right before this. And it was the story of the man who was once blind who came to see. And I tell this story to my kids all the time, how Jesus spit in the mud and rubbed the mud on his eyes. I always wonder, that's one of those questions we ask Jesus, like, why'd you have to do that? why'd you do that? Couldn't you just make him see? I don't know. It's an interesting question, right? But anyways, he came to see, and before he could even get his eyes clean, Jesus is gone. He knew Jesus healed him, but he didn't know much more than that. And so the religious leaders see that this man was healed on the Sabbath day, and they're furious. Jesus had been doing this for some time already. So they bring him in and they start questioning him. They start interrogating him, like, what are you doing with this guy, Jesus? Don't you know he's some bad guy? And he's like, what are you talking about? I mean, they even bring his parents and all these things up to him. But they end up getting really mad at this man who was once blind to see. They don't celebrate with him at all. Like, wow, you were really blind and now you see. They totally skip over that. And then they mad at him because he wouldn't denounce Jesus. And so in that text, if you remember, they say something really interesting in it, and it says cast out. They cast him out, which we kind of just glance over and like, okay, they kicked him out of the synagogue. No, it wasn't just a cast out. They de-synagogued him. They un-synagogued him. They kicked him out of Judaism. This had tremendous repercussions to it. It had both socially and spiritual repercussions to him as a Jewish man. But Jesus, this is what's amazing about Jesus. He comes in and he saves the day. He comes and he finds the man, and he does something that really hits us in our heart of what our needs are for God and for Jesus to be our Savior, our God-sized hole. This man gets it filled, if you want to say it that way. And this is what it says right there in John chapter 9, if you just want to flip right over. In verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. There it is, cast out. And having found him, I love that. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. So basically what's going on is this man was cast out of the fold of the flock of Judaism, if you want to look at it that way. But the good shepherd finds him. And this is important because Jesus is going to show the religious leaders, his disciples, the crowd watching, and even the man who was once blind, that he is the good shepherd. And that his sheep know him. And that this man who was once blind, now he sees clearly in lots of ways, not just literally, but also spiritually. He's seeing clearly now. And he's coming to have life and life to the full, abundant life. And we can have that as well, too. So Jesus, he's not only teaching us that this man who's now found, he could see and have abundant life. He's also teaching us in this text that there's others out here that are not legitimate shepherds. They have counterfeit voices, as we're going to hear here in a second. And they are thieves and they're robbers. It's an interesting word, the thieves and robbers. When we think of it, we kind of just skim over it, right? A thief and a robber. Those are kind of the same thing, aren't they? Not to them, a thief. The word actually here in the Greek, a thief would have been someone who is more like a con artist in our language. Someone who is manipulating and twisting things, right? That was very much the religious leaders. And then you look at the robbers. Robbers are someone who beat someone upside their head and they steal their belongings, right? They're pushy. They're manipulative physically. This could have been the Roman guard, right? That the religious leaders would have even used. Jesus is pointing at these figures to show them that they are not legitimate. But then we see Jesus do something that's truly amazing. Even in the first few verses, we saw this in chapter 10. And it's kind of weird, right? I'll be honest with you. I've never in my life wanted to be a sheep more than I have today. I'm just going to be honest, right? You ever felt like, man, I want to be a sheep? No. But when I read this text, I'm like, man, I want to be a sheep. Not because sheep are cool. Sheep are kind of lousy creatures. And again, we'll hear that in a little bit too. But they are. They're kind of lousy creatures. But I want to be a sheep because of the shepherd. Because of how good he is. He makes me want to be a sheep. Now, probably 99% of us, we had a few last service. I'm curious. Anybody here ever work with sheep? No? Like, bro, so all of us, none of us have ever worked with sheep. I have never worked with sheep either. So I had to get a little bit understanding. I had to do some research on this. And it's kind of interesting in this text because you got to have the Eastern mindset, not our Western mindset, not our mindset that we have in the West. It's very different kind of shepherding here in America than they do in the East, especially 2,000 years ago. But come to find out, there's actually two different types of pens. There's two types of pens that they would keep sheep in, and each of them are in this text. And if you want to highlight this, 1 through 6 are the sheep pen that was part of the village pen. The village pen. And this would have been a communal place that shepherds would have come in, and they would have put all their different sheep in this pen. And then you had a different pen for verses 7 through 10, which was what would be considered the countryside pen. We'll get into that one here in a minute. I want you to focus on the village pen. If you can imagine, the village pen was kind of like, it is a high rock walls on each side of it, and there would be sheep in the middle of it. You know, so you imagine really tall rock walls and sheep. Kind of, if you can imagine with me, kind of like the Grand Canyon, right? Grand Canyon. You got rocks on both sides and sheep in the middle. Does that help you get the illustration in? Yeah. So it was really hard to get that in this text. I'm just going to tell you. I thought about it. I was like, you know what? It started with me. It needs to end with me. So we'll carry on. We'll carry on. But really, though, the village pen is a cool pen. It's a cool understanding. There is an important part to understanding why this is important. Because imagine, if you would, you bring your sheep and there's other sheep in this pen. When you come to get your sheep, how do you know who's sheep? This got me thinking. You know, take our kids all the time to the YMCA. They have this thing called the Y Watch, right? It's a great thing. It's a blessing to parents, right? And you drop your kids off there. Kat, my wife, she will drop the kids off sometimes, and I'll come and pick them up. And I never have that little barcode. And so I walk in, and I always do this, trying to get away with it. And I'll be like, Corbin, Kate, it's Chloe. And they're not even looking. They're not even looking. Their heads pop up, Daddy, 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 and they come running at you and stuff, and I'm opening the door, and they're like, sir, do you have your barcode? No. But I thought it'd be funny to be like, what? I'm an idiot. These aren't my kids. See you later. Of course these are my kids, right? You know, they know me by my voice. And that's what this text is getting at here, is that the sheep know their shepherd. Is interesting enough it is, because they have this intimate relationship with the shepherd. and this amazing relationship. And when he would come up, and some of you maybe have experienced this with your pets, right? You come in, and we have that like weird way we talk to our pets, right? You know, come here, little girl. You know, you got that voice that you kind of use, and your pets come running, right? Not for cats, though. Cats don't run to anything, right? No. I'm sorry if I offended you. But yeah, it's a weird thing. You know, we got this voice, this inflection that we use. And still to this day, you can see the shepherds still use this. And you could try all you want to call the sheep, but until he comes and uses his certain call, the sheep do not come. They do not come because they know the shepherd's voice. And why is this important? Remember the story, the blind man. He came and they tried to confuse him. They tried to say, why are you involved with this Jesus character? Don't you know he's this bad guy? Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And he came to follow Jesus. He came to follow Jesus because he knew the good shepherd's voice. He knew it. And we can too. Listen to what it says in verse 4. It says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. The figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. See, look at this one. The voice, the figure of speech, all these different things. Here's the important question you need to ask yourself. Do you know the shepherd's voice? Do you know the shepherd's voice? If you think in your life, do you know the shepherd's voice? And what is the figure of speech here? He's really saying, do you know God's voice? Do you know Christ's voice? I know that might seem strange to you today, but these people, they didn't. The irony, they had decided to close their ears. This is what Jesus, over and over again, he says, you with ears, let you hear. He says this many times in the gospel. You who have ears, let them hear. But they had decided, this guy cannot be the Messiah. This guy, what is he doing? He's healing people on the Sabbath day? Crazy man. They didn't even realize that they were heaping their rules, their regulations onto him. But Jesus, don't confuse this at all. Jesus, he came through the front door of Judaism. He did it the right way. They climbed the fence. They were trying to do it other ways. They were trying to get into God's kingdom other ways. So they were snatching. Imagine you got a picture of someone reaching over a fence and grabbing the sheep. That was the depiction that he was giving to them. But they, ironically enough, they associated Jesus. And they thought he was a bad guy. How could they get this wrong? Well, one of the great things that we have is we have the Bible that we get to look over. And over the span of the Old Testament, which they had at that time, they didn't get to see all this because Jesus was fulfilling them one after another. But he fulfilled 330 prophecies. 330 prophecies. And yet they're saying, oh, this guy, he broke the law. Not at all. In fact, Paul reminds us of this, a guy who was a steward of the law, a guy who was a Pharisee, right? He was a religious guy of piety. And this is what he said about Jesus in Galatians 4:4-5. He says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as son. Look what it says there. It says, born under the law. Jesus said this. He said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. To fulfill the law. But these people missed that. Even though they would consider themselves stewards of the word. They consider themselves religious people who went above and beyond to make these extra rules for the law. They missed it. Why is that? Have you ever wondered this before? You know, or had someone ask you this before? It's not about who you know. How's it in? But it's how you know them. It's about how you know them, right? And that's what I feel is true with Christianity. That's what's true with Christ. Because a lot of people, yeah, I know about Jesus. They can give you all the Sunday school answers. They can tell you everything about Jesus. But when you look at their life, does it reflect someone who's following Jesus? Does it look like someone who knows the voice of the shepherd? Are they following counterfeit voices? Are they following voices that are not of God, right? And I'm not trying to be a judge, right? Because that's not my job. But he did say this. He says, you will know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. And so, again, am I suggesting here today that we can hear God's voice audibly? It's a good question. And it's, if you know me, you know how much I love to open cans of worms, right? But I can't do that today, sadly. So I'm going to give a soft plug real quick. We talked about this. Me, Tammy, and David, we had so much fun. We went over time talking about this in our After Sermon podcast. So go find that. Listen to it, because we talk about it more in depth. But I'll give you this little bit. Do I believe someone can hear the voice of God audibly? Yeah, I do think that's possible. I wouldn't put that past God. He's God, right? I would have put that past him. But I wouldn't say that is the most common way he does that. In fact, it says that the Spirit will illuminate his words. Illuminate his words as we study it. And it says that all scripture is God-breathed, used for rebuking, correction, and teaching. We can trust in this. And if there's things that maybe you're hearing or someone else says they're hearing about God, first and foremost, does it align with his word? Does it align with his word? Pray about it. Meditate on it. Feed on it. That's what's important, right? That we live off of this. And you know what? You'll come to find and you'll come to see and you'll come to trust that God is good. That he is good. And that you'll more and more, and he'll speak to you in ways that you could have never imagined. In ways that he'll lead you in ways that you could have never imagined. That's the difference here. And what Jesus is getting at here, he's saying that you know them because they know my voice. You can see which sheep are his because they follow his voice. They follow his words. But if I had to be honest with you a little bit here today, if I told you the truth, man, I struggle at following Jesus 100% of the time. But maybe that's just me. But it's just me, right? No, we all do, don't we? We all do. There's so many times I'm like getting his word. I feel like, man, I could read his word every day. I could meditate on it. I could pray. I could get into worship. And yet still sometimes I have a hard time hearing his voice. Amen? You ever been there? I've been there, right? And I want to tell you, right, that here's the thing, though. I've learned to realize that I'm doing this on my own strength a lot of times. I'm doing it on my own sheepness, if you want to say it that way. I've come to realize that sometimes I need to realize that I'm a sheep. And if you've ever heard this before, sheep are dumb, right? And I'm not calling you dumb today, so please forgive me if you hear that. That's not what I'm getting at. Just look at me and myself. Because I'm putting myself in this situation. Because if I look at a sheep and I'm like, man, sheep, they're kind of, again, they're lousy animals. They're not good at much on their own. In fact, did you know that sheep, if they're not careful, they will literally follow one another off of a cliff, just one after another. The entire herd will go. They'll follow one another. It's because they're influenced easily. I could be influenced easily. It's been times in my life I've done that. You know, as well as they will get to grazing and they'll follow, just gratifying themselves, you know, filling their bellies, and they'll get away from the herd. And before long, they don't realize that they're away from the rest of the flock. It's incredibly simple for sheep to do that. And they have no sense of direction. They have no way to get back to the flock. As well, as a predator comes, you know what they do when they see a predator? They kind of cram their heads into one another and they just let their butts hang out. And then what happens is the predators come and they'll just snatch them one at a time. Because they're so fearful. They don't know how to protect themselves. They don't even try. You know, all those things. And I look at this and I'm like, man, there's a lot of things that I have sheep likeness about. But here's the thing. We can all come to understand this. And maybe comparatively, when we look at some sheep more than others, this sheep may be smarter than that sheep, and so on and so on. But let's not forget God's word. What does it say in Isaiah 53:6? It says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. All of us. Does it say some of us? It says all of us. But what I end up doing is I get caught up and I'm like, man, look at that sheep. He's got a good piece of grass over there. Oh, look at the sheep empire they've made. That sheep probably is going to be good all the way until the day he dies. Really? I mean, if we think about it, is that really how it works, right? Because you could go on your own merit. There's some people who are incredibly strong, incredibly disciplined, but is there anything we could bring into this life and put it in the next? There's nothing. There's going to come a time that the thieves and robbers, the ones who are going to steal, kill, and destroy us, they're going to come into our lives no matter whether we like it or not. We can make it a long time, but we're going to be helpless at some point. And the important part is that we know where to go. And Jesus knew this. He said this, and it's not actually Mark. I had to correct this. I'm sorry, but it's Matthew 9:36. It says, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. That's what Jesus knew, that we're like sheep without a shepherd. You know, these other religious people, they're like, we got a shepherd. Our shepherd was the law. And you know what? They had some things right, but for the most part, they were living a lie. They're living a lie. So we do, as sheep, we need a shepherd. And here's the thing, is I know it's offensive. Sheep are dumb like creatures. And I'm a sheep, we're a sheep, all these different things, you know, about sheep. We can go take that analogy way too far. But here's the thing, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. I love what King David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Shall not want. This is King David we're talking about. He could have had anything, as we know his story, he could have had anything at his fingertips. Sometimes he did that in a bad way. And he said, he doesn't want any of that. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. That's his biggest boast. It's not about me, it's about him. The greatest part of me is I'm his. He's my leader. He's my shepherd. But here's the other important thing about this that I want to remind you of. Again, our context matters. The lens of which we look at Jesus really affects a large part of the way we see Jesus. And we could even write a whole different narrative if we just took each of our different perspectives of Jesus. And again, that's really important that we match it up with God's word. But take for instance, I told you it's important to understand Eastern shepherding compared to Western shepherding. Did you know the difference between Eastern and Western shepherding? Western shepherding, they use, and if you closed your eyes, you'd probably think of this. What do they use to drive the herd? Dogs. They'll have dogs, and the dogs will drive those things, drive those sheep to where they need to be. Or maybe even four-wheelers today. They'll use all different types of things, but the point is that Eastern shepherding was not a driving type of shepherding. What was it? It was a leading type of shepherding. And that's what Jesus said here. He said he goes before the flock. He leads them. He's not dragging them. He's not beating them. No, they know him by his voice, and they know that he is good. And they know they need a shepherd. The sheep never say, man, I really need that dog. I never need that dog. No, but they know they need a shepherd. They need someone to lead them, and they're willing to follow someone if someone would just take the time to be good to them. Thank God we have a good shepherd. You know, the thing is, because sheep without a shepherd, what would I call sheep without a shepherd? They're lost. And eventually, a lost sheep is what? A dead sheep. And there's many people I would put in that classification that they were wandered. They've gone astray. They're caught in sin and trespasses. But I love it that we serve what? A compassionate. Jesus showed compassion on them because they had no shepherd. That's the God we serve. That we can know his leading, that we can see his word that he's given us. And a great way to do that is to know what is not his voice. Did you know that? Sometimes it's important for us to realize what's not his voice. Listen to verse 5. It says, a stranger that they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. You ever know how people spot counterfeits? Did you know this? When people study counterfeits and they look at bills, whether it be $100 bills, $1 bills, $20 bills, whatever it is, they don't study the counterfeits. Did you know that? Because there's thousands of different counterfeits out there, but there's only one real deal. So what they do is they study the real deal, the real 100, not the real 20, whatever it is. And just like in this picture for y'all today, can you spot it? Me neither, because I don't know which one's real or fake. So sorry about that. But it is. One of these is fake. And the question is, how do you know which one is fake? How do you know which voice is fake? Which voice, which shepherds in your life are calling you to go the wrong way? My encouragement again is to do what? To get into his word, to pray and meditate on his word, and to know and listen only to God's voice and go when God tells you to do things. That way you'll be able to spot the counterfeit verse or counterfeit voice. In verse 7, it says this. It says, Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So remember, we talked about the first pen. The first pen was the village pen, and now we have what's called the countryside pen. That's what this passage is about here. And it goes from the shepherd's voice, right, where you come up to the pen and he calls them out. And now he's given us a different illustration here, and it's just as powerful. And it's the idea that he is the door, that he's the door. And basically what he's saying here, he's saying that if anything's going to get in, it comes over his body. And if anything goes out, it goes over his body. So he's saying, you know what? You want my sheep? Over my dead body. Over my dead body. And that's what Jesus says, even in this text. He says that he will lay his life down for the sheep. The hired hand, the porter, the other guy who's at the village pen, that guy's going to run and flee. Not him. He's the door. Let me ask you this question, friends. I've been here. Do you struggle with fear? Do you struggle with anxiety? Man, there's so many times at night, like I'll just wake up and think about all the evils in this world. God, why are these things going on? But you know what? We can take heart by drawing close and near to the shepherd. That's the answer here. Verse 9, what did it say? He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture." Focus on that. This gate, this idea, this enclosure here. Did he say that, you know what, if you want security, if you want to get over your anxiety, all you need to do is you need to hear some encouraging speeches? You know what you could do? You could go find this other religion. It's way more encouraging, right? And you know, it's going to make you feel good, and that will give you the security you need to get in. You can go through that door as well. Maybe false religion. No, I know it might be a little bit brash, but I have to be honest with you. This is what it says. There's only one way. In fact, later on in John 14, he says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. There's only one way. And here's what's amazing. This is what I love, right? We may look at that and like, man, that's narrow-minded. It's kind of brash. But here's the thing. What does that really teach us? It teaches us this I am statement. It teaches us that he is the way to eternal life, but it also speaks of the security that we can have in him. It speaks of the safety, and all, again, due to what? Proximity to the shepherd. Proximity to the shepherd. So what is the key to being a happy sheep? Drawing near to the shepherd, that we draw nearer and nearer to him. In fact, I love it what Jesus said himself. He said, "Abide in him." You know that? He said this, "Abide in him." You know what that means? That means which means constant, close, intimate, living communion with him. The closer you are to the shepherd, your security goes way up, way up. Your safety goes way up. So draw near to him. And if that wasn't good enough, if, man, the security and the safety that I get in Jesus, man, that's some good stuff. It gets even better. Keep reading. Verse 10, which is probably the most famous verse in this chapter. It says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and life abundantly." Man, life abundantly. Who doesn't want that? Abundant life. Overflowing life. Just wait, to the max, to the hilt, right? That's some good stuff. Who doesn't want that? That sounds amazing. But here's the issue is sometimes I think we see this and we think of something else. So let's look at the counterfeit again for a second. Let's just look at it for a second here. Not that we could spot it because we know the real deal. But this counterfeit is Satan, who wants to steal and kill and destroy you. And those counterfeit shepherds, ones that what do they want to do? They want to draw you in. They want to grab a hold of you, and they want to take you places where you never wanted to be, and they're going to keep you there longer than you ever wanted to stay. These are the counterfeit voices of our world. There's thousands of them. We all have ones that we're more drawn to, right? We all have ones like, you know what, those counterfeit voices, who would ever follow that? But this one, that one sounds kind of interesting. That one gets my craw. I really like that. But you know what's interesting as sheep that we do, ironically enough, we look at other people and the voices that they fall for, and we look at them as lesser, weaker than. You know, I think of Adult Challenge, what we just talked about here today. And I'm not saying this about our church, but I've seen this in the American churches. I've seen this with people, and they look at people with addictions, as drug addictions, as lesser than them. But I'm going to be honest with you, even in my own story where I grew up, drug addiction was all around me. In fact, there was times that I even dabbled in it. But if it wasn't for God really speaking in my life at a very young age, in fact, I would go as far as this. He was screaming in my ear many times, not audibly, but I'm telling you, there was moments in my life I could recall very vividly, and he was like, run, get out. And sometimes he was using other sheep who are coming over there. You know, what are you doing? Get out of this situation. You don't belong here. It was nothing on my power that I was able to stay away from those things. And it's important for us to not look at others and say, you know what? You're lesser than because you listen to that voice. Because the truth is, we all have those things. We all have counterfeit voices, counterfeit shepherds that draw us in. And sometimes we get stuck in those situations. You ever been there? I know I have. There's things in my life, even though I maybe not fall into that one, there's other ones like, man, why do I keep gravitating towards those things? Why do I keep having to fight this battle over and over again? But this is what I've learned, and this is what this text really teaches me that is truly powerful, truly remarkable, and the good news I have for you today is sometimes we focus too much on the counterfeit voices. And what we should be focusing on is the good shepherd. How good is he, right? Why are those so alluring when I know I have found such a treasure in him? Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. That's some good stuff. It's kind of interesting because the psalmist later on, he says it a different way, and it's like he gives you more, like he had experienced it more. He says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let me ask you a question. Have you come and tasted that God is good? You know what's interesting is some of us, we hear that and we say, okay, I get it. God is good. God is great. Thank you, Jesus, food. Amen. Right? We get it. God is good. Tell me more about that abundant life. I want to hear about this abundant life. You know, the thing that gives me more cars, more money in the bank account, you know, more followers on social media, more people who are going to look at me and like what they see. I want that kind of abundant life. Maybe that's not you. You know, as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? A life of ease and a life of no more suffering and pain. That would be the abundant life for me. Amen, right? But see, what if that wasn't it at all? We look at this as this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, right? And it's not the gospel at all. Because that's not what we're learning in the Bible. In fact, you flip the page one more, you just look at the next chapter in your Bible, and we hear this amazing story of this man who died, Lazarus, and what did Jesus do? He brought him back to life. He brought him back to life, and Jesus in that text in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. What if the abundant life is not all the great things we can have in this world materially, but the things that we can have in Christ, in the resurrected life? A great example of this, if you think about it, right? Did the early people in the church, did they have the abundant life? Did they? Did they have health and wealth and prosperity? Not at all. I mean, you look at Peter. Peter went from scared that he was going to lose his life, denying Jesus 3 times, to just a few months later, he was willing to run into the synagogues and be whipped and beaten on behalf of the gospel. And eventually, he died for the name of Jesus. And you look at Paul. Paul hated Christianity. He hated everything about it. He just wanted to destroy Christianity. And then he has an encounter with Jesus. And not only does he turn his life completely around and start spreading the very story that he was trying to destroy, steal and kill and destroy. It's interesting, right? But he goes to tell others about this abundant life so much that he's willing to go to prison. His hands would have probably been over his head most of his life in prison, chained up. And he tells the people who wrote down what he had to say, and he tells them, tell them that everything I had before, my life before Christ was dung. Did that man have abundant life? Absolutely. He had the abundant life because he knew what it was all about. And this is the point. The abundant life is the resurrected life. It's the life that has the superior position over the enemy. I love that. Because you know what you're telling your enemy when you have the life of Christ is you're telling him, like, look, you can still kill and destroy me. You could destroy this body. You could destroy everything I own. But at the end of the day, you can never take this life I have in Christ away. You never could take it. It's not yours. So this life, not the health, wealth, and the American dream, it's a life of superior position over the devil, over his influences, over his guilt, over his shame, over his sin. But Jesus came that we may have life and life to the full. He said, you could be made new. You could be made right, not haunted by the past. Isn't that interesting? We're not haunted by the past because he makes the past like it never happened, from east is to the west. That's something only God can do. So let me tell you, the devil, Satan, he absolutely, absolutely does not want you to know this. He's scared stiff of anyone having this kind of life. So the voices, you know what, they might get louder in your life when you start running to Jesus. And you got to get better at picking the counterfeit ones. But how do you do that? Again, it's not complicated, but it's extremely hard to do. It's to keep your eyes fixed on him, the good shepherd. Verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Listen, don't tune me out. We're almost done. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking that you've never experienced this kind of abundant life. You've never come to experience life like what you're talking about. You know, I'm still trapped in fear. I still feel like the enemy has me ensnared. The robbers, the thieves. Why do I feel like they have me? Where's this abundant life at? Maybe you feel strongly that you're even a sheep. I can't answer that question for you. I'm not saying that you're not a sheep if you feel like the enemy has a foothold of you right now. But the question is, do you still hear the shepherd's voice? Do you still know that he's good? Because here's the promise, is that he is good. And he has not given up on you. You might feel like you're overwhelmed with all the things of life bearing down on you. But do you know that he's good? That none of that takes that away? That you can come and experience him like maybe you never have before. And that's the life that's going to start overflowing in you. It's going to be miraculous even. But again, I just want to encourage you with this today. As we go into a time of prayer and reflection, I want to encourage you to ask yourself this question. Have you been listening to the voices too long? Have you given in to the counterfeit shepherds of this world? If so, I want to tell you, Jesus is calling. He's calling you. And if you're a sheep, you'll hear him. And you'll come out of that. And maybe you're saying, I've never accepted that before. I've never even experienced how good God is. I've never had someone tell me that before. Let me tell you today, you can know that. I'd love to talk to you. It'd be in the back corner over here. Me and Tammy, we'd be back there. We'd love to talk with you about what it means to know Jesus, maybe for the first time. But if it's you and you say, I know Jesus, but I've been sucked in by these voices, let us pray with you too. Like I said, in my own life, if it wasn't for other sheep telling me, hey, that's not the real shepherd. That's not going to be what's going to actually get you to abundant life. I don't know if I would be here today. So let me tell you that. Let me encourage you. Let me pray with you. Because listen, our God is good. That's what's important here today, that he is good. He's so much better than anything the world can offer. I can promise you that. Let me pray for you. God, I come to you. Lord, I love that you are so good. Lord, there, as much as there's been doubts in my mind and my heart when I've listened to the voices too long, I know that I can come and find rest in you because of that I have come and tasted. Lord, that I've witnessed your great name. I've seen the power and the might of you. And Lord, I just pray that you help us all as a church, as we come as together as a community, that we can drown out the voices of the evil one that wants to kill and destroy us, and that maybe we come together and this flock, this fold, Lord, that we might come and make a difference and be a light, a beacon to others, people like those who need adult challenge. Lord, I pray that you use us in a mighty way. And Lord, if there's ones who are stuck here today and they feel like they're stuck in the voices and the shepherd, the counterfeit shepherds have a grip on their lives, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they relinquish it all. And they come running to you, the good shepherd, and you'll scoop us up and lead us into green pastures. In Jesus' name, amen.